Hello, Zimbabwe, and welcome to Live Talk, The Connection Youth Show. We're coming to you live from Studio 7 at the Voice of America in Washington, and I'm your host, Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. Today on Live Talk, The Connection Youth Show, we are looking at marches by Zimbabweans and members of the opposition CCC held in Pretoria, South Africa today in protest against the recent disputed elections in Zimbabwe. We will also be looking at incidents of violence and alleged abductions of members of the opposition CCC. But first, concerns of a wider war in the Middle East are growing as the United States is dispatching more military assets and warning of significant threats to Americans and U.S. facilities in the region. VOA senior diplomatic correspondent Cindy Sane reports from the State Department.
Israel's military has increased its airstrikes on Gaza, destroying entire neighborhoods amid expectations of an Israeli ground offensive. Amid fears of a wider war erupting, White House National Security Council Coordinator John Kirby said attacks on U.S. interests in the region have increased.
We know Iran continues to support Hamas and Hezbollah. And we know that Iran is closely monitoring these events and in some cases actively facilitating these attacks and spurring on others who may want to exploit the conflict for their own good or for that of Iran. We know Iran's goal is to maintain some level of deniability here, but we're not going to allow them to do that. We also are not going to allow any threat to our interest in the region to go unchallenged.
On Sunday, U.S. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin spoke to ABC This Week, saying the United States is boosting its military presence in the Middle East.
Well, Jonathan, as you know, recently we've seen rocket and UAV attacks against bases housing our troops in Iraq and Syria. We're concerned about potential escalation. What we're seeing is the prospect of a significant escalation of attacks on our troops and our people throughout the region. And because of that, we're going to do what's necessary to make sure that our troops are in the right, good position. They're protected.
Since the October 7th attack on southern Israel by the Palestinian militant group Hamas, killing more than 1,400 Israelis, Israel's strikes on Gaza have killed at least 5,000 Palestinians. The United Nations and humanitarian groups are calling for a humanitarian pause in the fighting. State Department spokesperson Matthew Miller had this to say on Monday.
Any ceasefire would give Hamas the ability to rest, to refit, and to get ready to continue launching terrorist attacks against Israel.
European Union Foreign Policy Chief Josep Borrell said Monday he believed the group's leaders would back a call for a humanitarian pause to allow aid to enter Gaza. Humanitarian aid continued to trickle into the Gaza Strip as 20 more aid trucks entered. But a lack of fuel for deliveries is threatening to halt the operation, with more than 2 million besieged Palestinians awaiting help. Cindy Sane, VOA News, the State Department.
South Africa is hosting a summit for participants in the U.S. government Duty-Free Africa Growth and Opportunity Act, AGOA, from November 2 to 4, as the act comes up for renewal. Kate Bartlett spoke to the owners of one South African company about how the trade initiative, which benefits more than 30 countries on the continent, helped them grow their business and enter the U.S. market. Kate Bartlett has more to say.
South African sisters Michelle and Mo Mokone started their brand, Mo's Crib, selling hand-woven homeware and decor at local weekend markets. Now it's a multinational venture, with the sustainable and recycled products stocked by large U.S. outlets, including Crate & Barrel and Target. Co-founder Mo Mokone says around 75% of their business comes from the United States.
I think the first reason why I would think that Americans like us is because we're authentic. I think more than anything, we look like the people that make the product. And for the very first time, we're seeing a black African that's representing the artisans that are making the product.
Mo's sister and co-founder, Michelle McCone, says she thinks their popularity is also due to the fact that the company is green.
Well, the kind of plastic that we use is actually one of the least recycled plastics in the world. It's called a PVC, also known as polyvinyl chloride. And it's basically like a cable pipe, or they use it as a water pipe, you know, in construction. So our main source of this particular plastic was landfills.
Without the tariff-free policy, Mo says the sisters wouldn't be where they are today.
If we lost access to AGOA, it would have a huge impact on us. You know, we've got favorable shipping rights to the USA, and that also makes us a favorable supplier to our customers, particularly the wholesalers in the US. And probably without it, we wouldn't be where we are today.
South African business groups were concerned earlier this year that they might lose those U.S. trade benefits. A bipartisan group of U.S. senators balked at South Africa hosting the annual AGOA summit in November. They disagreed with South Africa's neutral stance on the war in Ukraine and its perceived warm relations with Russian President Vladimir Putin. Lumkili Mondi, an economics lecturer at Johannesburg's Witwatersrand University, explains.
That has led, therefore, to suspicion about South Africa and a view from certain quarters, particularly in the US Congress, arguing that why should we give them market access to our market when in fact South Africa is in bed with Putin.
However, the last few months have seen a warming of relations between the two nations, with U.S. Trade Representative Catherine Tai saying she looks forward to visiting South Africa for the summit next week. Kate Bartlett for VOA News, Johannesburg.
Insulated from reality and slow to
Meanwhile, the ZANU-PF Politburo met in Harare today to discuss the upcoming elections and the party's national conference, as well as the SADC anti-sanctions day observed tomorrow. The opposition CCC President Nelson Chamisa today visited former Mavuki Tafara lawmaker James Chidakwa at Harare Hospital. Chidakwa was allegedly abducted and tortured yesterday. That there was former Mavuku Tafara lawmaker James Chidakwa in Harare at a hospital. Please stay tuned as we take a brief break.
In times of change, when the world seems uncertain, and what we hear doesn't reflect what we see, we seek the truth. When we are told only part of the story, we lose trust. In moments of crisis, our dreams, hopes, and wishes for a better tomorrow depend on a free press. At Voice of America, we bring you the stories that people take risks to see. We connect the world and unite it with truth. At Voice of America, we show you the whole picture.
For those that have just joined us, please note that we are streaming live on all our Facebook pages, VOA Shona, VOA Studio 7, and VOA Ndebele. We're also live on YouTube at VOA Zimbabwe. Today we are discussing the march held in Pretoria, South Africa today by Zimbabweans and some members of the opposition CCC. They marched to the offices of the Department of International Relations and Cooperation in Pretoria to demand that South Africa refrains from supporting the ruling party ZANU-PF, who they accuse of rigging the election in favor of President Emmerson Mnangagwa. President Mnangagwa, however, has repeatedly said the elections were free and fair, but SADC, African Union and other bodies that observed the August election say they were not. CCC member Trust and Lovu speaks about why they were holding the march.
In 2023, President Ramaphosa is one of the only three heads of states who attended the inauguration of President Mnangagwa. After another fraudulent election, instead of fostering the 2023 election dispute nationally, regionally, continentally, and internationally, we call upon South Africa, led by its respectable president, in collaboration with SADC, to promote solution that is acceptable to all Zimbabweans. In conclusion, we call upon President Ramaphosa to accept and respect SADC report in its form. ZEC announcement on election results is a disputed report which cannot ultra-via the SADC Seomon report. Please don't rig the report. Number two, President Ramaphosa should not cushion or shield the ZANU-PF President Emmerson Mnangagwa from dictatorship by delaying SADC summit on Zimbabwe disputed election. Number three, we demand free and fair elections under a new environment in Zimbabwe. Number four, ZANU-PF should be stopped from bullying the region. E.g., SADC tribunal was abolished because ZIM did not want it. Since then, we know what happened November 2017. There was a coup d'etat, and South Africa, being the biggest economy in Southern Africa, if it's not in Africa, has a responsibility to make sure there's stability in the region. Otherwise, the people will end up resorting into violence, and there shall be bloodshed. And bloodshed through coups in South Zimbabwe will spill over into South Africa. Number five, conflict in Zimbabwe is not less important to the conflict in Palestine and Israel, because Zimbabwe's lives matter.
That was CCC member Trust and Lovu in Pretoria, South Africa. And to discuss this issue, we are joined by political analyst and professor at Tshwane University, Ricky Mukonza. We also have Mr. Trust and Lovu of the CCC. And we have Xavier Savare of ZANU-PF in place of Regis Charumbira of ZANU-PF, who's in Zimbabwe, and we can't get through to him. And also Dr. Tianai Masie, a Zimbabwean based in South Africa. Welcome to the program, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Good evening to your viewers.
And greetings to your viewers.
Thank you so much. I'll start off with you, Professor Mukonza. You've heard, and we have been seeing images coming out of South Africa of Zimbabweans, including members of the opposition, marching to say that they are not happy with the outcome of the elections. What's your take?
I think that action by CCC supporters is something that is commendable, but it's not enough.
Your audio is breaking up, so we're going to try and sort out the audio. In the meantime, I will toss over to you, Mr. Ndlovu. We saw you in a video there outlining some points of why you as CCC decided to march in Pretoria. How was your protest received?
No, it was well represented, and it was well received from the outlook of things. people went there and vented their anger and frustration. And of course, our point of entry into South African government is the Department of International Relations. And we handed over the memorandum as we stated some of the issues that concern us and what we expect President Ramaphosa to intervene and to influence even decisions in SADC. As the one president who is leading the most powerful economy in the region. And we think that it is compromising our freedom in Zimbabwe, it is compromising our economic development, it is compromising our democracy by going there and supporting dictatorship, and even on the backdrop of SADC report. We know very well that SADC is an institution which is more representative than ZEC. So how could he accept ZEC against the position of SADC? And we found that not really serious. And we say it is important that leaders such as South African leadership, South African president, must show that they are not only leading South Africa, they are leading the region, because their companies, their economy is not is all over in the SADC, if not all over in Africa. Our people have been subjected to so much violent human rights. Our people's will was subverted on the 23rd and 24th elections, and our people are still being harassed as we speak. And as they have already indicated in your show, that our member, Chidakwa, was abducted and he was hurt, and he is not the only case in point, because a lot of people that are being abducted, are being abused, intimidation is going on. The actual fact, Zimbabwe suspended its own constitution, and we are subjected under a military deep state that is actually controlling the lives of that is running the country. You do not express, people do not express their views freely and remain free. And as I speak, on Monday we were supposed to have a demo, we were denied a demo in Bulawayo. And that shows that with this MOPA, we cannot go anywhere, we can't do demonstrations. If we do without permission, we are going to be locked. And you know, we've got Job Scala and Ngari Vuma and other political leaders in jail right now.
So thank you. Thank you there. I will switch over to Mr. Professor Ricky Mukonza to just finish off what you had said in terms of do protest work.
Marvelous. I don't think protests really work in the context of Zimbabwe because of the repressive nature of the system in Zimbabwe. So, well, they are a way of raising issues, and they must be encouraged because the Constitution does cover them. But in my honest opinion, protests in Zimbabwe don't seem to, you know, work in a manner that, you know, end up having issues that will be raised by the protesters, getting to be addressed as desired.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. And I'll switch over to you, Mr. Xavier Zavare of ZANU-PF. You are planning your own march against sanctions tomorrow. And what's your comment about the march that the CCC had in South Africa today against the election results of this year's poll?
What we have here is unpatriotic people, unknowledgeable people, people who don't care about the Zimbabwean population, that the population which is suffering under economic sanctions imposed on us for the past 23 years. Now, at this moment in time, any patriotic Zimbabwean, any Zimbabwean who care about the well-being of citizens in Zimbabwe would be understanding exactly what Tsvangirai, Biti, Nelson Chamisa, Eddie Cross understood when they joined government in the 2009-13 GNU, when they recognized how devastating economic sanctions that they had previously called upon the country were having on the people of Zimbabwe. These guys are not fools. They are intelligent. They know exactly how economic sanctions are affecting each and every one of us. So at this moment in time, at this moment in time, any serious Zimbabwean who is concerned about the welfare of ordinary Zimbabweans would be joining hands with the SADC region, with the AU region, and all other international actors that are sympathetic to the Zimbabwean situation, including a United Nations rapporteur who actually came to investigate the impact of economic sanctions on the ordinary lives of Zimbabweans and concluded that the sanctions were a human rights abuse being imposed by the United States, the UK, and its European allies on us Zimbabweans.
If so, I may just come in there, Mr. Zaware, and just say that, but like I asked, I think you were on our program yesterday, that, you know, there are certain issues that Zimbabwe is supposed to be addressing. But anyway, we won't go into that. I'll come back to you. Let's take a Zimbabwean who also attended the march in South Africa. Dr. Masia, welcome to the program. Hello, Dr. Masia. I'm not sure if Dr. Masia can hear us. We will come back to Dr. Masia, but in the meantime, Mr. Zaware, I'll come back to you later. Let's go back to Mr. Ndlovu.
I hadn't finished my point, so... But
yes,
anyway,
just, I'll come back to you. Let's just, you know, there are a few of us here, so let's just rotate, but I'll come back to you definitely. I'll come to you, Mr. Ndlovu. We saw that there were other Zimbabweans who also rallied up with your party. So at the end of the day, after you had the protest, did you give a petition? What was the, you know, what are you hoping to get as an outcome? Mr. Ndlovu, we cannot hear you. I cannot hear Mr. Ndlovu. But let's go back to you, Mr. Mukonza. We seem to be having problems with our lines, but that's, you know, natural when you're having a live show. Professor, you heard both parties. You heard the CCC talking about why they had their march. And then ZANU-PF is also, you know, proposing to have a march tomorrow. What's the way forward for Zimbabwe, the way you see it? And going back also to the issue of abductions.
Thank you very much, Marvelous. I heard the ZANU-PF representative, but could not hear the CCC representative. But my point that I may need to raise to the ZANU-PF representative is that their definition of patriotism is very divisive. Now, they need to understand why a section of Zimbabweans would, you know, seek to demonstrate or to protest against the government and against the status quo. And those people are not met. Those people are Zimbabweans who have a different view from what ZANU-PF thinks and what ZANU-PF, you know, proposes as the way forward. So when they pursue this exclusionary, patriotic, you know, this exclusionary definition of what patriotism means, I think they are going to leave a large number of Zimbabweans outside of people who could be called citizens in Zimbabwe. Because these people have are unemployed. They are living in poverty. They have issues that they want the government to address. And the government is not addressing those things. Instead, what we see a rise in corruption, a rise in the looting of mineral resources. So ZANU-PF needs to sit down and begin to be honest in looking at the Zimbabwean situation. This is what has caused all these other problems that we are seeing, manifesting in protests, manifesting in, all the other things that ZANU-PF seems to think are unpatriotic acts.
Thank you so much. And I would also like your comment before I go to Mr. Zaware on the alleged abductions. What's your take on what we're seeing happening on the ground?
The abductions is a deplorable act. Whoever has done it, I have not seen an authoritative source that says it was done by X or Y. But if it is state agents, as has always been, alleged previously, then it adds on to the already bad human rights record of government, and it doesn't serve anyone in any way. And government, if I were to advise them, they need to desist from this. If they are the culprits, they need to desist from this because it doesn't really help them. Now, after these abductions, you hear them talking about open for business. Zimbabwe is open for business. Who would want to do business with a regime that is alleged to be abducting its citizens, that is alleged to be engaging in human rights abuses? So, assuming that it is government or government agencies that are engaging in this, then I think they are very ill-informed in doing that.
Thank you very much. I'll come to you, Mr. Zaware. Your last word, just to round up, commenting on what Professor Mkhonza was saying there.
What we are simply saying is that as a country, every country in the world has got its own challenges and problems at any given time. But you have to know one thing. There is a time which Mao Zedong said a long time ago, brothers quarreling at home should unite against a common enemy. A common enemy that we currently have are sanctions that have been placed on our country. Sanctions that are affecting Sisi, that are affecting ZANU-PF, that are affecting NDU, that are affecting any political party or any political party member or anybody who is not in politics. So everyone is affected. It's time for us to call with one voice against those sanctions. As regards to the abductions, we know that every time there's something as significant as this, we will have drama from opposition. So people should be very careful with these things that they do, because we know exactly who is Chidako. Why should anyone be worried with him at this moment in time in Zimbabwe? Who exactly is he? Because it's time to call for sanctions to be removed from our country so that we can start. Kana tichikundikana, ngatikundikanei tadzisirwa masanctions. Kwete kuti takasungwa ruoko nekuseri, makuti hanzi izvo muri kukundikana. Tokundikana chirudzii kurwa kuzvirwira isusu as Zimbabweans. Imi vakatisunga. So we are trying to do our best under the constraints of the sanctions.
Thank you so much there, Mr. Xavier Zaware of ZANU-PF. I'd also like to thank Professor Ricky Mkhonza, who was here as our guest from Tshwane University. And we also had Mr. Trustin Lovu of the CCC who joined our program to tell us about the protests that they had today in Pretoria, South Africa. They were protesting against what they say were rigged elections, although the government and the president of Zimbabwe says they were free and fair. And that brings us to the end of our show. Signing off in Washington, I'm Marvelous Nhlanga Nyahuye.